Hello and welcome to this Chamber of Commerce podcast. I'm Rich Hoffman, the chairperson of the Chamber of Commerce, and with me is Jamie. Hi, Jamie. Jamie Barger, who is our CEO for the Chamber. And, you know, with holidays coming and anticipating, you know, some changes perhaps in our COVID restrictions, we wanted to put this together for businesses. It's a helpful guide to perhaps navigate through some of the questions. So the first thing we attempted to do was put some questions together and in front of our health department, Dr. Kerr, Dr. Bob, and we have some answers. So I think what I'm going to do to start out with, and we'll talk about some tips after this, is to go through some of those questions, Jamie, and then perhaps you can let the listeners know what some of the answers we received were.
Sounds good.
All right, great. So we don't know as of the taping of this whether we're going to be moving into the purple tier, but with recent spikes in cases, it's a possibility. So could you explain what would cause us to go in the purple tier, and is it just positive cases?
Well, Rich, the health department got back to us, and their explanation of what would cause us to go into the purple tier is the increase in case rate and or positivity rate. So the positivity cases and total tested times 100 would get us our percentage. Whichever places Amador into a more restrictive tier determines what our assignment is going to be.
So that's all back to how many, what the percentage is of 100,000 people that gets us there.
Correct.
Right. All right. So we know that there are many activities in the county this time of year as we're approaching the holidays, like Christmas Delights in Jackson, Sutter Creek Open House. Are those allowed to happen?
Yes. So we wanted to make sure going into this that no one was doing something that they weren't supposed to do. So the health department has said that these events can go on because retail businesses can operate under the state blueprint. Indoor retail activity will be dependent on the tier status. So if we go into this purple, the inside shopping could look a little bit different, but can still happen. Currently, we're restricted to 50% capacity in red, and if we go into purple, it's going to limit down to 25%. So businesses will have to be due diligent about keeping track of how many people are coming into their business at any given time. No food or beverages can be served by the retail stores. And the reasoning for this is because it would cause the person to have to remove their mask to partake in the food and the drink. And you want to limit people taking down their masks. Outside curbside activities are preferred. So I know Jackson plans on shutting down Main Street. So hopefully that allows for more social distancing and not cause everyone to be inside just one single store at any given time. As well as keeping the usual modifications, so promoting the mask wearing, the hand washing, having the hand sanitizer stations open, and physical distancing will all be in place for both of those events.
Great. Now, in terms of PPE and mask mandates, you know, recently law enforcement has come out and said, you know, we're not going to be the police for this. We're not going to enforce this. What are some tips that we can give our businesses to maintain this requirement? I mean, you know, how can they do that if someone just doesn't want to listen?
So the health department suggests signage being the number one thing. And I'll do a little plug. There is some free signage available at the chamber office that does promote the mask wearing, the social distancing, the hand sanitizer. So that can all be provided to a business at no cost if they don't have any available. And the nice thing about the signage as well is it's all cohesive. And so you'll see multiple businesses throughout the county already have these signs. So it becomes just a normal thing that when someone sees it without even really having to read the sign anymore, they're knowing what it says, and it's to wear that mask. It's kind of just expected now. You're supposed to be out in public and you're supposed to have a mask on. So it kind of comes back to almost that self-policing and you know, being responsible for yourself and wearing it. Businesses have the right to refuse service to any customers that aren't wearing masks. The health department also talks about limiting customers coming in the store if there is someone that's in there not wearing a mask. Don't allow more customers to come in until that person is finished and has left the store. And businesses have the responsibility to make the workplace safe for employees and patrons. So it sounds like the health department is really putting it on the business owner to keep everything safe and compliant.
So to say the least, it's not business as usual.
No.
Do you have any examples of what perhaps other businesses might be doing successfully to mitigate or, you know, alter the way they're doing business?
Yes. I've seen several businesses in the counties, usually in their social media platform, to inform their customers that they can shop for them. So you don't even have to leave the comfort of your house. They can do it over the phone with Zoom or those other media platforms that allow you to do the webinar style shopping experience. A lot of them are saying if you want that one-on-one experience that you can make an appointment and shop with that shop owner, and they'll shut down the rest of the store to any outside person so you're safe, as well as taking advantage of the free PPE supplies from the Chamber of Commerce right now for the hand sanitizer and the mask. So having some stuff available to the customer. So again, having those hand sanitizing stations right at the front and making that an expectation that they should clean their hands right when they come in. And you can even suggest them doing it on their way out just to make sure everyone's staying safe.
Great. Yeah. And you'll want to stay tuned to the end of the show where we're going to explain some ways that, and some times so you can come and get those from the chamber. So we've had a few questions from local businesses about whether or not the state might be providing more aid to businesses. Have you heard anything about that?
Unfortunately, at this time, there's nothing really coming down. It's all still up in the air. I think it's coming down to hopefully we have a vaccine that comes out sooner than later. And we would all hope that with that vaccine, maybe we start going back to what life was before COVID a little bit. I don't know that we'll ever go fully back to what life was, but hopefully we start going back and don't have to do so many precautions.
So we at the Chamber have been trying to do everything we can to encourage local traffic to stores and shopping local. Yes. But inevitably, as the seasons change, you know, people are going to start going up to Kirkwood. They're going to start enjoying the winter activities in the Sierras. We're going to get some people from out of the area coming through. Do you have any advice or suggestions on how to deal with those folks who may not be familiar with, you know, the area and the shops?
So Kirkwood has done a lot to their webpage, especially to reinforce the modifications that have been put in place because of COVID and what Kirkwood is expecting their travelers to do once they arrive at the location. And so they actually have a web link up on their website at kirkwood.com that talks about the customer experience now with COVID and what that looks like. So I think we need to do our due diligence to make sure that that information is readily available to all visitors ahead of time. So it makes it really helpful when other businesses or places have links to other websites. So that might be something that's helpful that shop owners can do too, coming up to the ski resort, you know before you go or something like that, where they're learning the expectations again before they get up here and having the same standard throughout again. Anytime I talk to someone that's looking at coming to the area, I make sure to reinforce that masks are required. Social distancing is a must. Groups larger than six are not encouraged. And then again, those hand sanitizing and hand washing is super, super important. Our whole experience is changing. And usually this time of year, the chamber's big on promoting Plaid Friday and Small Business Saturday, and we promote down to Lodi and El Dorado Hills, and we want everyone to come here. Next is exactly that. We can't do that this year. So really staying focused on the home and that shop local campaign and working together as a community and making sure everyone's informed no matter who it is or what they're doing.
So the state is utilizing various arms of state government to enforce some of these new guidelines. ABC has been out there, and I think we'll be enforcing a lot of the curfew-centric restrictions. And we recently heard about a new push from Cal OSHA. Have you had any calls on that?
I have not. In the beginning, as we were in the most restrictive tier, there were a lot of people calling in the chamber and finding out, you know, why businesses are doing certain things or what exactly is required or not required. It's also kind of unknown, especially as things change and the governor tends to come out and change things on a whim. So we can only do what we can do. But part of that is making sure that your employees are educated. I think when your employees are educated and you're educated, you can work with those customers and help them navigate what the new normal is and what's expected. So the proper mask wearing and making sure both your mouth and nose is covered. The purpose of a face shield, that a face shield is not necessarily, we learned this from Dr. Kerr, a replacement of a face mask. You should wear both, that the face shield is to help protect your eyes, not keep from the spreading of COVID. And so Cal OSHA is going to put it on businesses that they are responsible for making sure that their employees know how to stay safe, how the transmission of COVID happens, and how they keep from spreading it, keeping their area safe. So with that, that doubles back to kind of the chamber's role in providing PPE supplies to businesses at no cost, because that's going to be part of that educating your employees, is your employee can't use the excuse that they didn't have access to this, because as a business, you're expected to provide that material for them.
Yeah. And as a business, you can't play dumb on this stuff.
No, there's no excuse on this one.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in terms of having access to enough PPE to keep your staff safe, the chambers have got a great story to tell there.
Yes. So partnering with the local health department OES office, as well as the Cal OES office, the chambers received several supplies of masks, hand sanitizer, face shields. We had thermometers for a while to help businesses. And all of this was at no cost. The original supplies that we got was a 2-week supply for businesses, and that was including those masks that could be reused. So that was kind of nice that you could wash them and reuse them. And then the second wave of supplies we got were the disposable masks and the bigger hand sanitizers. And again, the face shields, and that was a 30-day supply to businesses, all at no cost to them, and they don't have to be a chamber member. We'd love everyone to be a chamber member, but they don't have to be a chamber member to take advantage of these. So I've been giving them out on a regular. Anytime someone emails me, I just have to know their business and then how much they need of each supply, and then we get it delivered to them, or they come by the chamber office and pick it up. And then you helped out as well. Earlier in October, we did 2 drive-through events, so they were contactless drive-through events where businesses could just drive right up. We just asked their name, their business, what they needed. We put it in the back of their car and they were on their way. So all of that has been super successful. And at this given point, we have given out over 27,000 masks and just over 1,700 hand sanitizers.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's all out in the community.
So we have an event coming up?
Yes, we're going to do another drive-through event. We really want to make sure with Plaid Friday coming in, Small Business Saturday, the holiday season in general, and then also this new regulation that Cal OSHA is putting out, that businesses have to provide this. We want to get, again, out into the community. So we're going to do a drive-through event again at the Chamber office on December 1st, which is a Tuesday. It's Giving Tuesday. So the businesses, again, can just drive right by, especially it's kind of convenient. It's right by the Catherine Drexel Church, which is where Giving Tuesday is taking place. So they can actually kill 2 birds with 1 stone in 1 location. We're going to do that from 10 to 2 that day.
That's great. Yeah. So we'd encourage everybody to stay up to date. Mm-hmm. Things are changing quickly. You're always welcome to call the chamber. What number would they call?
They would call 209-223-0350. Or email amadorcountychamber@gmail.com.
And as always, the best way to stay up to date is to listen to KVGC, 1340 AM, 96.5 FM. And the most up-to-date information is always there. And we appreciate their letting us use the studios today.
Yes.
Yeah, and with that, we'll say goodbye to everybody. Stay safe out there.
Well, and I'd also welcome anyone that's listening to this. If there's questions that we didn't cover, they can always email the chamber the questions, and we can get those answers for them. So we can kind of keep this going, and I can maybe even dedicate a page on the website for people's questions, frequently asked questions regarding COVID.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jamie.
Yeah.
And appreciate you all coming to listen, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.